So, Brian asked me to preach, and I got this whole big fat book here. I'm thinking, what am I going to teach, you know? And it can be a myriad of things. I thought, I'm going to teach today. My title of my message is The Gift of Salvation. I'm going to unpack that, and we'll see how that goes. Hopefully you're still in Ephesians. I want to read the passage one more time, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. All right. I want to say a prayer first. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for this time that we have on this crazy planet of ours. Thank you for this, all the opportunities we have to walk by faith. Thank you that you made us in dependence upon you. In Christ's name, amen. So Ephesians, since you're there, let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And my first question is, why do we need to be saved? Aren't we okay? There was this book back in the 60s, and I know I'm dating myself. It was called I'm Okay, You're Okay. Anybody remember that? I'm Okay, You're Okay. Everybody's all right. Don't worry about it, you know. Well, let's see what the Bible says. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So we sin because we have a sin nature. We come into this world, lost. Bible says there's no one righteous, no, not one. Romans 3, verse 10. Romans 3, verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Bible says that in our flesh dwelleth no good thing. Not some good things, it says no good thing. Romans 7, get Romans 7, verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. What is the definition of good? It says no good thing. Bible says that God is the only one that's good. Matthew chapter 19. Let's take a look at that. Matthew 19, verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? For there is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. We'll look at that later. But what I want you to see right now is there is none good but one, and that is God. So God is the only one that's good, right? According to Jesus Christ, that's what he says. Romans 3, verse 23, a very popular verse. You probably all know it. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What is the definition of sin? The Blue Letter Bible defines sin as to miss the mark. To miss the mark. Romans 14, 23 says, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Ooh. So every time we're not walking by faith, we're sinning? I don't know. What's the standard? So Blue Letter Bible defines sin as to miss the mark. What's the mark? The standard is the glory of God. To wander from the law of God, to violate God's law. What is the purpose of the law today? Is it to say, oh, this is the standard that we got to keep, and we got to do this, and then we'll be okay? Well, let's look what the Bible says. Let's go to Romans 3, since we're right there. Verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Let's look at the next verse, too. For therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Galatians 3:24. Can you guys hear me all right? Huh? Everybody can hear me but Hillary? Hillary, you need to go to the doctor. Okay. Did it go off and on? Are we all right back there, David?
Okay, see, I'm not
hearing
it. I'm listening to your
phone. Okay, no. Yeah. Okay, if there's a problem, let me know. Galatians 3:24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for we are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. So the law is like a mirror to show us what we look like, to show us who we are, that we fall short of the glory of God. I say, man, I can never measure up, you know. The glory of God, boy, that's hard to define, isn't it? For the glory of God, you think about that, you know, goodness, and I found this definition. It's God's perfect righteousness, the outshining of all that God is, his magnificence, his majesty, his excellence, his preeminence, his dignity, and his grace. Wow. I know in Psalms 19, I think it is, it says that the heavens declare the glory of God. And we see that. We walk outside, we see the stars, we see the sunrises, the sunsets, and it's like, man, that's just a taste of it. It's just a taste of the glory of God. And we all fall short of that. So who do you think, living or dead, is the worst sinner that comes to your mind? And you can shout it out. Who? Paul. Anybody else? Judas Iscariot? Hitler? Say, well, it's got to be a human. Okay. Let's just say Hitler, and I borrowed one of my granddaughter's dolls, okay? That's Hitler. Now, I had a limited choice of... You notice that he's black, he's dark, you know, in darkness, you know. So anyway, that's Hitler. Who's the best, who's the least sinner that you know of? Who's like the best, most righteous person you comes to you, besides Jesus Christ? The mother of Jesus? All right. There's Jesus' mom. Now, here's the worst one, Hitler. Here's Jesus' mom. She realized later, she realized too, she needed a savior, didn't she? I could say something about the Catholic Church, but I'm not gonna right now. So, okay, now here's you guys. Here's you. In your own mind, where would you put yourself between these two? You know, right here. Maybe here, maybe close to Mother Mary, maybe here. Let's put ourselves, maybe right there. Does that sound all right? Now, imagine this line extends. Which way is this? Is that north? That line extends all the way to the North Pole. And that's thousands of miles, all right? And at the North Pole, you have the righteous standard of God. So God looks down through history and sees all these people. And his righteousness is way over there. Do we all come short of the glory of God? We all come short of the glory of God. That's how God sees it. That's how perfect his standard of righteousness is. But we like to compare ourselves with ourselves. Well, I ain't as bad as that. Well, you know, at least I don't do that. But the problem is we're all in the same boat. You know, we all come short of the glory of God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. I'm going to take these guys away so you don't get distracted. There we go. Let's get Romans 5, verse 12 a minute. Romans 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So because of our daddy, Adam, sin entered into the world right there at the Garden of Eden, and Satan told, God told Adam and Eve, the day you eat of that tree, you will surely die, okay? So, and the wages of sin is death. Not only physical death, but also spiritual death and eternal death. The Bible talks about the second death. Go to Revelation 21, verse 8. Revelation 21, verse 8. This is after the millennial period. There's a great white throne judgment. Let's look at that real quick a minute. Revelation 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. These are all the lost people of all humanity, of all dispensations. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. That don't sound good, does it? And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 21, verse 8. But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, if that part there, all liars, if we're honest, we're all liars. Right? At some point. That's okay. So this judgment, it's horrible and it's forever. Matthew 25 says that, let's go there a minute. Matthew 25, verse 46. This is at the end of the judgment of the sheep and the goats, which will happen before the millennium. The one we just looked at was after the millennium. And it says, in verse 46, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment. Is the punishment going to end? It's everlasting. But the righteous into life eternal. Is our eternal life ever going to end? We are spiritual beings. We are eternal beings. We're going to live forever somewhere. And we have this window of opportunity right now between when we're born and when we die to make that choice. That's what God gives us, all right? So do the lost know that they're lost? What do you think? Let's look at John 1, verse 5. And the light shineth into darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Go to Matthew 24, verse 37. Matthew 24, verse 37 through 39. But as in the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered in the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So during the time Jesus was talking about, which would be the tribulation time, people aren't going to, they're not going to realize what danger they're in, all right? And people today in this dispensation, I think a lot of them just don't know. They just don't know. Romans 3 talks about, it says that there is no fear of God before their eyes. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is what? It's death. Proverbs 16:2 says, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits. So, Jeremiah 17:9, you're all familiar with that, where it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So I took, a couple Sundays ago, I'm just going to do this real quick. A couple Sundays ago, I went down to the beach and I took some tracks and I wanted to ask people one question because I was going to teach on salvation, you know. So I just went up to random people, whoever was there on the boardwalk there in Holland. It was a beautiful, beautiful Sunday afternoon. And I asked them, I says, what's your understanding of salvation? Boy, I got all kinds of different reactions. One lady said to me, she was real nice to me until I asked her that, and I asked her that question. She said, well, I think it's just this beautiful sunny day. I said, I don't think you really understand my question. I said, I'm talking about salvation from sin. And she whipped around, she took off like a chicken being chased by the colonel. And she says, I don't want to talk about that. You're not supposed to talk about religion or politics. Because part of my question was, when I asked him if I could ask him a question, I said, it's not political, which relieved everybody, you know, at that time. So that was her reaction. My first couple I talked to is a gentleman and a lady from Vietnam. They came here from Vietnam. They've been here for a while. And he went on about being good, and I'm a good person, and I try to help everybody. And he went on and on and on and on. Man, he had a long list of the good stuff that he did. And I just let him go, and I asked him if I could give him a track about what I wrote about salvation, and he said, yeah. So I gave him one, I gave his wife one, and she was reading it when I left, so I thought that was cool. But most of the people, there was probably, I think, two people of everybody that said, because I put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, what he did for me at the cross, you know. And she had a Jesus shirt on, so I thought she might probably get it right, you know. So most people don't really know, and they're lost. The Bible says that if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. All right. So God has a remedy for this situation. The first thing a sinner needs to know is that they're lost. I mean, could you get saved unless you know you're lost? And usually, at least it was for me, I had to go through a lot of pain before God had to kick out all the props in my life that I was leaning on. So it's like, are you going to lean on me now, Ernie? You know? And I'm like, yeah. And I heard the gospel and I believed it. And he changed me. So people need to know that they're lost. God's remedy. God's remedy for our situation. Calvary is the only solution for man's sin. Romans 3, verse 24. Romans 3, verse 24. Let's see here. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It's a beautiful verse. The definition of just, what does it mean to be justified? There's no word that we have in the English language for righteousified. I can't even really say it. So to be justified means to be made righteous. To have that standard of the glory of God, we got to have his righteousness. All right? So that's all justification, justified means. It says, freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Redemption is simply the price that was paid to purchase us. All right? And we are purchased with what? What did God purchase us with? His own blood. His own blood. It says we are bought with a price. I'm just going to go through. You don't have to look these up. 1 Corinthians 6:20. Christ redeemed us with his own precious blood. Acts 20:28, 1 Peter 1:18-20. Colossians 1:14, we have redemption through his blood. Galatians 3:13, Christ redeemed us from the curse we deserved. It says he became a curse for us. He stepped into our place. He says, I'll take that punishment for you. Jesus Christ took all our sins in exchange, and in exchange he gave us his righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Let's look at that. This verse really popped out at me when I started to really understand my identity in Christ, what he did for me, okay? I got saved when I was 28, and I spent 5 years in denominational churches, and they told me all kinds of junk. They told me all kinds of mud, and that's what it was. It was clear as mud, M-U-D, mixed up doctrine. Mud is mixed up doctrine. And I started understanding my identity in Christ, what he did for me, and this verse popped right out. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us. So the first he there is God the Father, all right? God the Father made him, Jesus Christ, God the Son, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So to come up to God's standard of righteousness, God had to make us that. We could never attain to that on our own. God had to do that for us. All right. Let's go back to our passage. Ephesians 2, verse 8. For by grace we are saved. By his grace we are saved. Today we live in the dispensation of the grace of God. A very unique time. Grace can be defined as God's unmerited favor. All right? God is free to do for you. All that God is free to do for you because of what Christ has accomplished for you at Calvary. It all stems around that cross. All of it. So we're saved by grace. Are you saved? We're saved from the penalty of sin, which we talked about before, which is death. The wages of sin is death. That's what we're saved from. And that also includes the second death. Through faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. Faith is just believing what God says to you. Okay? We just went over what Christ accomplished for us at that cross. Do you believe that he did that for you? That's the big question. That's the big question. You can believe that. You can believe that in intellectually and historically that Christ went to the cross, he was buried, and he rose again. But if you've never put your faith in it, if you've never rested in it and said and understand that he did that for you and say, I believe that. I trust you for that. Thank you. You know, I mean, there's a lot of people that believe the historical facts about it. But are you trusting in it? That's the faith part. For by grace are you saved through faith. All right. Our faith is the thing that connects us to God's faithfulness. All right. Faith, I got a definition. Faith is taking God at his word and leaving the consequences to rest upon his faithfulness. Believing what God says to you. And God is very interested God says he wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Okay. He loves you. He really loves you. So what is the object? Faith demands an object. What is the object of our faith? It is the Lord Jesus Christ and his redemptive work for us. That's the object of our faith. Romans 3, verse 22. And then get Galatians 3:22 in your other hand. So you got Romans 3:22 and Galatians 3:22. It's kind of cool that they got the same chapter and verse. All right, Romans 3:22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. So the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, that's Christ's faithfulness to do what he said he was going to do. All right? That's all that is. He accomplished what he decided before the foundation of the world to do, that he's going to come and pay the price for our sin. And then he's going to have to give it to us by gift, by a free gift, okay? He's going to have to shed his own blood. Galatians 3:22. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Christ Jesus might be given to them that believe. Now, the King James Bible is the only one that has it right here. It's by faith of Christ Jesus. It's not faith in Christ Jesus, like they have, which would be redundant because it says might be given to them that believe. Our job is to believe that Christ did it all. He was faithful to do it all for us. That he was. 1 Corinthians 15 says he was dead. He died on the cross. He was buried, and he rose again from the dead. And if there was one sin that Christ he took on the sins of the whole world, he paid for them all. If there was one sin that he did not pay for, he never could have came out of that tomb, right? So the resurrection proves that your sin debt has been paid in full. Paid in full. That blew my mind when I first understood that. You know. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, it is a gift of God. God's salvation is not merited. It is a gift. I have a dog, Josie. Maybe some of you have seen her on Facebook. She's like the best looking dog in the world. And she has a favorite quote from Mark Twain. You want to know what it is? I'm going to tell you anyway. He said, heaven is by favor. If it were by merit, your dog would go in and you would stay outside. Anybody that knows themselves well and knows their dog well would say amen. Amen. So, Romans 3:24 again, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Go to Romans 16, verse 25. I got the times written on my notes here, so I'm trying to correlate it with the clock so I don't go over again. I know a lot of times I do that, so I'm trying to stay within the timeline today. Romans 16, 25, 26. Very familiar verses for us grace believers. Okay, Romans 16, 25 and 26. Now, let's look at 24. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. Now it's been made known. And by the scriptures of the prophets. That's all the rest of your Bible outside of Paul's epistles. We can be established by, we can read all those other books. I know Jim, my friend, is reading through the whole Bible again, and from him understanding who we are in Christ and understanding the dispensation, the grace of God, it's neat to see where all these other books fit in God's plan and purposes, okay? So that's the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith plus works. That's wrong, isn't it? For the obedience of what? Faith. Faith. Faith alone, being saved by grace through faith alone, you won't find that in the Old Testament. You won't find it in the Hebrews through Revelation. I'm sorry, but you won't. All right? For the obedience of faith. So there's this, a friend of mine was going to go to this other church. So I thought I'd just kind of check it out, you know. And he had this sermon. It was on the cost of discipleship. And he quoted my passage here, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. But right after that, he says, if you're not living your life in complete submission to the Lord, God will say to you on that day, depart from me, for I never knew you. I think, man, you just took a free gift out of one side of your mouth, and then the very next breath, he says, if you're not doing enough works, you're going to be damned. I hate guys like that. I do. That makes my blood boil, all right? And it makes Jesus' blood boil too. He called what we believe cheap grace. He says, you believe in? I says, I'm so sick of this cheap grace. There's nothing cheap about what the Lord Jesus Christ did on that cross. He gave himself for our sins, all right? He shed his own blood for our sins, all right? Go to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. Verse 13. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For neither you go in yourselves, neither suffer them that are entering to go in. Verse 14. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore you shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Jesus is yelling at the religious leaders of his day, okay? That's what's going on here. For you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more of a child of hell than yourselves. Ooh. Sweet and gentle Jesus. That's pretty harsh words, you know? And I think about that, and I think about, don't be adding works to Christ's finished work in this dispensation, all right? There's a place for our works. Ephesians 2:10 is that they were prepared for, that we should works that we should walk in them. It just makes the most sense to do that. But it's not going to save you. If you're counting on that for salvation, you're going to be sorely mistaken. Matthew 23, let's look at verse 33. Ye serpents, call them snakes. How many women here jump when they see a snake? Even Mark? I would too if he surprised me, if I'm working in a garden, all of a sudden there was a snake, you know. Ah. For you serpents, you generation of vipers, how shall you escape the damnation of hell? Those are rough words. Those are rough words. All right. I'll go to Mark 7. Mark chapter 7. Verse 7. Howbeit in vain do they worship me? Do they worship him in these churches that they hold their hands up? They have these worship bands. They have them. Boy, they look good, don't they? In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men, for laying aside the commandment of God. Go back. I'll just read it again in Romans 16:25. What's the commandment of the everlasting God? It's to preach Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. That's our commandment today. To follow Paul's gospel, that's our commandment today. To follow Paul as he followed Christ, that's our commandment today. That we're saved by grace through faith plus nothing. It's to him that worketh not, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. All right? So they have their own commandments. Verse 8 again in Mark 7. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men. Verse 9. And he said unto them, full well you reject the commandment of God that you can keep your tradition. That is going on in every church in America. We're going to hold our, this is just what we do. This is our tradition. All right. Sadly, baptism has now taken the place of circumcision in tons of churches. And it's a requirement for church membership. Church of God makes it a requirement for salvation. And it fuzzies up the crosswork of Jesus Christ, and it negates it if you're going to add that to what he did for you. So is it important to understand that we're saved by grace through faith, not of works? Not of works, lest any man should boast. All right? It's very, very important. Okay. Back to me. Titus. Well, I just quoted Romans 4. Let's go there a minute. Romans 4, 4 and 5. I quoted this to one of the ladies on my little poll on that Sunday afternoon talking about salvation. And she said that, she says, yeah, I believe, you know, what Christ did for me at the cross. And so I tried to kind of nail her down a little bit on it. And so I quoted Romans 4, verse 5. I said, do you agree with this verse? But to him that worketh not, but believes on him that justifies. Remember, what was justified? What did we define that as? Righteousness. He justifies the ungodly. His faith, just his faith, is counted for righteousness. All right. I says, what do you think about that? She goes, I don't really understand that verse. She says, but we're studying Revelation right now. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, you're studying Revelation and you don't even know about this clear verse right here, you know? But she was, anyway, that's that was just one of them. But it's a great verse. Revelation 4:4, not to him that works is the reward not reckoned of grace but of debt. If you're trying to work for it, the more you work for it, the bigger debt you're going to have. All right? Titus 3. Titus 3. Verse 3. Titus 3:3. Paul reminds them again of who they once were. And I think it's a good idea for all of us to remember sometimes where we came from, all right? For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Is that a good description of the lost world? Yes, we were part of it before we trusted Christ. I was a mess. I still am sometimes, all right? But, verse 4, but after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man, appeared. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by his, what? Grace. We should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We're going to be made joint heirs with Jesus Christ one day. Everything that he has, he says you're going to be a part of that. You're going to have it too. We're going to rule and reign with him forever and ever and ever. He says the sufferings of this present time that we go through are not worthy to even be compared to the glory of the glories in the north. That the glory is going to be revealed to us, okay? And that's our hope. That's what keeps me going when things get rough and things get tough and the world and everything is getting at you. You remember your, that's our hope. Remember your hope. Don't ever lose your hope, all right? So we're living between these two appearings. The first appearing over there is in verse 4, but after the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man appeared. That was when the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus. The second appearing will be in verse 11. No, I'm sorry about that. The first appearing is in verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men. God is saving all men today. And the grace that was given to the Apostle Paul, that all men are going to be saved without distinction, whether they're Jew or Gentile, all saved the same way. Despite the covenants of promise, despite the nation Israel, we're saved by his grace alone. All right. The second appearing is in verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. So we have these two mystery appearings. First he appeared, Saul of Tarsus. That wasn't in the Bible. That wasn't prophesied. All right. And then our rapture, the redemption of our body, that ain't prophesied either. So we're living in this parenthetical age in the yellow there on the chart. That's where we're at today. See where it says grace in big, thick, black letters? That's the time we live in today. That's what God's offering today to people. Romans 11:16 makes it very, very plain. Romans 11:6. Did I say 16? Yeah. Romans 11:6. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. So if it's by grace, it's either one or the other in this age of grace. So there's four different components to salvation, all right? The basis of salvation in every age is the blood of Christ. Everybody is saved by the blood of Christ. The means of salvation in every age is faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. The object of our faith is always God. Romans 4:3. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. He believed what God told him to do. The content of faith is always dependent on the particular revelation God was pleased to give at a certain time. Now, God doesn't give the same instructions. Brian's talking about that when he's talking about right division, and the basics of right division lately, which is huge. You know, we cannot talk about salvation without talking about some dispensational distinctives. Okay, so you're talking to people, and you're telling them that it's a free gift. There's nothing you can do. Christ Jesus did it all. And where's the first book that they run to? Oh, who said that? James. James. James says faith without works is dead. And it's like, that settles it. No, it don't settle it. What about all the verses I told you about grace and everything? You know, just can't take one verse and negate the whole thing. So who was? Let's go to James 1, verse 1 a minute. James is right after the book of Hebrews. Who do you think Hebrews was written to? The Hebrews. Who do you think James was written to? James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Greeting. James is writing to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. Are you a member of a tribe? Are you one of them? No. We're a member of the church, the body of Christ. All right? James is not writing to us. There's things we can learn about God in the book of James. But we need to be very careful to rightly divide the word of truth. Okay? Let's see. James 2, verse 20. What's they go to? But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Drop down to 24. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Is that diametrically opposed to Romans 4, verse 5? To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So we have to understand that in time past, works were required for salvation. No one is ever saved by works, but they had to have a faith that worked. All right, remember Rahab, the harlot in the book of Joshua? What did she do? She hid the spies. She hid the spies. And that was, go to James 2, verse 25. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them another way. So did she have to do something? She had to do something. She understood. She remembered, if you go back to the book of Joshua, she remembered that what God did with the nation Israel, and that if you bless Israel, God's going to bless you. So she took her place in what God was doing at that time, and she did what was right, all right? And she was saved. Hebrews 11, verse 31. Back up a book. Hebrews 11, verse 31. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not. There's your faith. There's that belief, okay? when she received the spies with peace. Hebrews 11 gives many examples of a faith that worked. Hebrews 11, verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Does sin have pleasure? If it didn't, we wouldn't be tempted by it, would we? But it's only for a season. It's only for a season. And that season runs out rather quickly. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he what? He forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, he endured as seeing him who was invisible. So he had to forsake Egypt. He had to do that. Hebrews 11, let's see, 28, verse 28. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyeth the firstborn should touch him. Back in the Old Testament, when they were coming out of Egypt, what was the last? The last plague was death, right? Last plague was death. And for them to escape that, God gave them a whole ritual of things to do. You got to take a lamb. It's got to be a without blemish. And you got to have it like 7 days. I forget all, but it was all these things that they had to do. And for them to obey God, they had to do those things. If they didn't do it right, it wouldn't work. All right. So they had to kill this innocent lamb and take the blood and put it on the doorpost. If they put it on the doorpost, the angel of death would pass over them. Okay. So did they have to do something to prove their faith? They did. What would happen if they didn't put blood on the door? Their firstborn would die. So if they would have said, well, you know, we're saved by grace through faith plus nothing, which wasn't revealed yet, but I just believe God. I don't want to get my hands all bloody. I ain't doing that. Their firstborn would die. Noah, Hebrews 11, 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So by faith, Noah was moved with fear, and he got his tools out and started building this ark. Well, but what would happen if Noah said, I ain't doing that, I don't like splinters. would he be saved? It would not be. He had to do that. All right. Now today in this age of grace, God says to him that worketh not, his faith is counted for righteousness. What if we try to add to that? Would we believe in what God said for us to do? We wouldn't be. Say, yeah, I know God, you died on the cross for my sin, yeah, but I still gotta maintain my salvation. I want to add something to it. Watch my smoke. God says, I'll watch your smoke, but it ain't going to be good. When Jericho fell down, Hebrews 11, verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down, and they were compassed about 7 days. So God gave them this, he says, we're going to go into the land of Canaan. There's going to be this big old fortified city, and can put your grenade launchers away because this is how we're going to do it. We're going to march around the city 6 times. Once every day. This is what I want you to do. And on the 7th day, you're going to march around 7 times. So were they given specific instructions to do? And they had to do those specific instructions. So on the 7th day, you march around 7 times. And he said, when you're done with that, I want you just to scream, and the wall, and you'll take the city. Now, does that sound right? Does that, you know, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is. Does that sound right to a man? I would say, God, that's nuts. That's just nuts, you know. And when you tell people the gospel, the grace of God, that we're saved, you know, it's all God's grace. He did it all for us. And they're like, that's just nuts. You know? But it's the truth. The Bible says the natural man don't understand the things of the Spirit. They're foolishness to him. You know? It says God has chosen the foolishness of preaching. Here I am. to save them that believe. That's his method today. Okay. All right. 1 Peter 1, verse 9. 1 Peter is another Hebrew epistle. During the tribulation, they're going to be, their faith is going to have to be proved, okay? Our faith is in the, has already been proven by the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. We don't need to have our faith proved. Let's see, where do I want to start? Verse 5. who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherefore you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptation. That the trial of your faith, their faith is going to be tried through the 7 years of tribulation, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Those people living in that time, they don't receive their salvation instantaneously like we do. Romans 5:12 says, now we have received the atonement. They will not receive their atonement until the second coming of Jesus Christ. And it is at that point they will enter into life. Acts 3, verse 19. Peter's talking here. He's addressing the nation Israel. He says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Okay, so at that time for them, their sins will be blotted out. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which was before preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive, until the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. We're living in an age today that was kept secret since the world began. Different instruction for different people at different times. Right? Don't mix faith with works today. They are going to... I'm running out of time. Let's go to Exodus 36 real quick. Ezekiel 36, I'm sorry. It's a way different thing. Ezekiel 36, verse 36. No, 26. Ezekiel 36, verse 26. I'm sorry. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away your stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. Verse 27. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. They're going to have a divine enablement by the Holy Spirit to walk under the law, to fulfill the law, okay? And you go to 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. Almost done. Now, Peter, James, and John, they agreed to keep their ministry to who? To the circumcision. So who are they writing here in the Bible to? Simple, huh? Verse 19. 1 John 2, verse 19. And they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt have continued with us. You have to, for them, they have to continue in the faith, all right? But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Verse 20. But you have an unction from the Holy Ghost, and you know all things. Unction is like anointing, like a special gift that you automatically know all things, all right? Verse 27. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you. Is that true for us today? Do we need teachers? Yes, we do. Do we just automatically know everything about the Bible when we get saved? It's work, isn't it? It's work. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not have any man teach you. But the same anointing teaches you all things, and is truth, and it is no lie. And even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. They had to abide in the vine. If they didn't abide into the vine, John 15, they'd be cut off and cast into the fire. That does not sound good to me. All right. So today in the dispensation of grace, the Holy Spirit has a different function. Today, God gives us this free gift of salvation. It's like this beautiful box wrapped up. And what do you do when you get a gift? Put it up. A lot of people do that. You offer people the free gift of salvation, and Jim's seen this too. They go, "Yeah, I'm good. No, you're not good. There's no one good. No, not one. Sorry. You open. Hopefully, you open up the gift, and you look at it. You look inside, and you see what God has done for you. You know that He gave Himself for you. At that precise moment that we do that, God indwells in us. He seals us with the Holy Spirit, a promise. Ephesians 1, verse 13. Verse 12, start there, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, and whom also you trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Second, you trust in Jesus Christ, he seals you with that Holy Spirit. You cannot lose it, all right? You cannot lose it. You can lose today, a saved man in a lost world. You can lose your car keys. You can lose your lunch. You can lose your wife. You can lose your family. You can lose your mind just to keep your sanity. you can lose your wallet, but you'll never lose your salvation. It is a secure thing. It is a very secure thing. All right. So now, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12. All right. So we got this box. We got this free gift. We got this box. We're opening it up. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So the God of the Bible, when we get saved, he gives us all these spiritual blessings in Christ, all these things. And he gives us the Holy Spirit to understand his word, all right? Before I was saved, I'd read this book, and it was just dry as toast, all right? I got saved, and the Spirit bears witness with the word that all these things are true. Yep, you know what I'm talking about? All these things are true. And you get excited, and it's this is cool. And it just opens up our eyes. Acts 26, verse 18. Acts 26, verse 18. When Saul of Tarsus got saved, Jesus is talking to him here. Let's start with 16. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of those things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto you, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I now send thee, to open their eyes, to open their eyes. And we talked about how the lost were in darkness, and they didn't even know they were lost. The gospel opens the eyes of people, right? That's God's purpose today, God's way of doing it. To open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. Sins are already paid for, but until you trust in Christ, you're still in your sins. An inheritance among them which are sanctified by what? Faith that is in me. All right. You ever see that video on YouTube where these little toddlers, they were like almost blind. They never really seen their parents because their vision was all fuzzy. Then they give them these glasses. You ever see that? And I just love those videos. And the kid is like, you know, it's just happy and excited. I can see my mom and my dad for the first time. All right, when we trust in Jesus Christ and receive His free gift of salvation, that should be our reaction. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you made it so simple for us, that you died on the cross, you were buried, and you rose again from the dead, offering us the free gift of salvation. And all our part is to believe you, to trust you, to rest in what you did for us, to rely that you were the sacrifice for our sins. Thank you for this time, Lord. In Christ's name, amen.